Chapter 12. A Cog in Something Turning. Jarred from sleep by the clamorous chirps of his personal comlink, Krennic reached for the device in the dark, thumbed it active, and heard the equally strident voice of his adjutant.
Sir, we have a full-scale riot in the Level 1 enclosures,
Ollanta said. Krennic spit a curse through his bared teeth. I thought we were done with this. What's their issue now?
We can't figure out what started it. One moment it was business as usual, the next the drones were destroying all the work they'd completed.
Destroying?
All 3 months' worth, sir. And they're still on the warpath. Even the Marines can't contain them.
Krennic shot to his feet. Meet me at the comm station and raise Poggle's ship. With any luck, you'll be waking him up like you did me.
I'm on it, sir.
Ordering the lights to come up, he threw some water on his face, stepped into his trousers, and hurried from his quarters. Incident-free months had gone by. The battle station's parabolic focusing dish was nearing assembly. Hull cladding had been added. Interior spaces had been bulkheaded and made habitable. Living conditions for the drones had also improved, and every attempt had been made to limit overcrowding. Even the Archduke had been especially accommodating. Though when not relaying commands to his soldiers, he had confined himself aboard the shuttle with his private contingent of workers. And now this. Krennic was at a loss to explain how things had been thrown out of equilibrium. Had Separatist operatives infiltrated saboteurs into the workforce? His young aide was pacing in front of the unstaffed comm station when Krennic rushed in. Following a brisk salute, Ollanta gestured wildly to the console.
Sir! Traffic control reports that the Archduke shuttle has left orbit!
Krennic wasn't sure he had heard him correctly. Left orbit when?
About the time the riot began.
Krennic bent over the console to scan the monitors. He had assumed that the shuttle was bound for the surface. Instead, he saw that it was outbound from Geonosis.
Do you have him on the comm?
He barked over his shoulder. Ollanta gestured again.
Loud and clear.
Krennic enabled the hollow feed and swung to the mic.
Where do you think you're going, Archduke?
He asked in Geonosian.
I'm sorry to be leaving, Lieutenant Commander, but I have an important engagement.
Whatever it is can wait, Poggle. Your workers are dismantling everything they put together.
The Archduke feigned sympathy.
Try not to be too hard on them. They are simply following my orders.
Krennic's thoughts raced.
Your orders? Have you lost your mind?
Get your sorry carapace back here on the double!
Poggle stood tall in the hollow feed, his wings slightly extended.
I required a diversion sufficient to occupy your security forces while I engineered my exit.
Krennic muted the audio and turned slightly toward Ollanta.
Calm the flotilla, Commander. Order him to draw bead on Poggle's ship.
Ollanta saw to it while Krennic disabled the mute.
What's the nature of this important engagement? Who exactly are you meeting?
My comrade, Count Dooku.
While Krennic was absorbing it, Ollanta said,
Captain Frist has the shuttle in target lock.
Krennic grinned for the holocam.
I'm going to give you an opportunity to turn around now and make things right, Poggle. Otherwise, you'll be in pieces before you clear the asteroid belts.
Poggle approximated a smile.
Ah, but thanks to your cordiality in providing me with a private retinue of drones, I have full confidence in my ship. You see, while my soldiers were helping you with the battle station, my drones were making significant modifications to the shuttle. I suggest you watch your displays, Lieutenant Commander Krennic.
Order Frist to open fire.
Krennic said. While he was switching to an exterior view, he saw Oyanta's mouth fall open.
What is it?
Negative engagement, sir. The Archduke's shuttle has jumped to hyperspace.
Galen and Roman Herbane were at it again.
I'm only suggesting that power could be diverted from the production plant to shore up the overtaxed shield generator,
Galen was saying.
That will allow us to enlarge the footprint of the defensive umbrella to encompass a greater part of the city itself, perhaps all the way from the western outskirts to Ambu Square and most of the historic center.
I won't even consider it,
Herbane said from behind his desk.
Diverting power will cripple production. You're assuming that the facility will survive. More to the point, we owe it to the local population.
Herbane's face wrinkled in derision.
I've heard word that your wife has all but adopted a couple of Lokori from your neighborhood.
What of it?
The locals have already been well compensated for allowing us to produce here,
Herbane said.
During the most recent election, they were given the chance to vote, to raise a shield that would have protected the entire city. And instead, corrupt members of the administration decided to refurbish the town hall and their own offices.
So don't lecture me on what we owe them.
The air raid on Lokori had never really ended. Over the course of 4 local months, it had waxed and waned. Day and night, the skies above Fucalpa bore evidence of the hard-fought battle in near space. Where the planet had been reinforced by elements of the Bright Nebula fleet, the Separatists had matched the Republic ship for ship. Time and again, Fucalpa was rocked by flights of suicidal droid fighters, which had resulted in thousands of civilian casualties and the devastation of countless buildings.
A defoliated garden,
Lyra had lamented. She and Jin had been relocated from helical hypercom housing to a safer area well inside the perimeter of the defensive dome. The homey surroundings to which they had just begun to accustom themselves exchanged for the sterile confines of a dormitory at the edge of the company's now seldom used landing field. Even without being able to airlift product, Herbane had demanded that work continue without interruption, so much so that the warehouses were beyond capacity and shipping containers were stacked all over the grounds. Rumor circulated of an imminent evacuation of all non-resident personnel at the first instance of a let-up in the fighting. But pauses had been so few and far between as to render escape a greater risk than simply hunkering down and trusting that Republic forces would eventually prevail. Standing on the visitor's side of Herbane's desk, Galen adopted a more conciliatory tone.
Haas Helical ordered you not to divert power. Or is the decision yours to make?
I don't see how that's any of your business, Erso.
Tens of thousands of lives are at stake.
A massive explosion close by overwhelmed Herbane's reply. The two of them watched from the window as black smoke coiled from the hills and the translucent shield doming the facility began to shimmer and fade.
The shield generator has been destroyed,
Galen said in a quiet voice.
We're all vulnerable now, Roman.
Stricken, Herbane stared at him, seemingly unable to speak. In the hallway outside the office, Galen ran into one of his co-workers, who told him that the Republic picket line had been dealt a crippling blow. Landing craft had been scrambled to deliver Grand Army companies to the surface, but Separatist troops were already on the ground. Even now, a battalion of battle droids was marching on the city, annihilating everything in its path. Galen ran off in search of Lyra, whom he found moments later with a helmeted Jin jammed into a back carrier and gazing over her mother's shoulder. Lyra grabbed a large backpack by the straps and passed it to him.
The battle droids landed east and north of the city center, she said in a rush. That means our best option is to head south into the hills. With the shield generator destroyed, the Seps aren't likely to care about that area. Jin and I have walked most of the trails through the draws that access the ridge. It's an easy climb, and once we're over the top, we can pick our way down to the basin on the far side. There's plenty of good water and small game there, and places for shelter. We have enough food to last for 2 standard weeks, possibly longer if we economize. The rainy season won't start for at least another 3 months, and by then, Lokori will be retaken by the Republic, or we could be forced to surrender to whoever's in charge.
Sounds like you've thought of everything,
Galen said. You know better than to say that. Galen shrugged into the heavy pack and they set out, snaking through the labyrinth of underground tunnels and gradually working their way up to the surface and into the streets that radiated out from the facility. Outside of what had been the defensive dome's coverage, the destruction was widespread and heartrending. Smoke billowed into a smudged sky, and distant explosions shook the ground. Thousands of Lokori crowded the streets, many of them similarly burdened with packs and supplies. And Lyra wasn't alone in wanting to head for the hills. They hadn't gone more than a kilometer when the river of refugees was forced to a sudden stop. Word from up ahead trickled back that a phalanx of battle droids was advancing from the west, and so the living stream shifted southeast. Panic began to mount. A trio of Republic landers raced overhead, taking heavy fire from hastily installed Separatist batteries. Galen watched as two of the ships sustained direct hits and were reduced to fiery debris, white-clad bodies plunging to the ground. Farther along, they came upon a squad of clone troopers deploying from a carrier that had managed to land.
"There's no exit in this direction," one of them said, waving a gauntleted hand. "All of you need to fall back to the factory."
Lyra shook her head at Galen.
"No way, right?"
"No way!"
They swung south again. A handful of the insectoids accompanying them, skirting the line where other clone troopers were beginning to dig in and negotiating a clogged alleyway that opened onto a winding highway. They were running now, Galen winded, his legs burning, Jin silent in the carrier and holding on for dear life. The sky was filled with tracer rounds, red pulses of energy and blinding explosions. Soot and particles filled the air, and the day grew dark as the sun was eclipsed by smoke. Galen wrapped a moistened kerchief around Jin's face. The sound of repeating blasters came from their right.
"Battle droids!"
Galen said. They turned and ran, only to encounter another dozen of the bipedal monstrosities directly in front of them, marching in step with black blasters raised. They cut left and increased their pace, running flat out and breathing hard. Lyra began trying the doors to storefronts they passed, but all were either locked or blocked by piles of organic debris. Battle droids appeared in front of them again, then behind as they swung around. Blaster fire whizzed through the air. Lokori left and right of them fell to the street. Protectively, Galen hugged Lyra from behind, Jin whimpering with her face pressed to her mother's back. Lyra dug her booted feet into the base of a slippery debris pile and began to scamper for the top, where it looked as if they might be able to access the leafy roof of a conically shaped building. Galen followed, his work shoes churning in the organic fall, and by the time he caught up to Lyra, she was shaking her head. The pile simply wasn't high enough. They stood together at the base of a sheer wall, 4 meters high, without ledges or toeholds, and with nowhere to go. Below, battle droids advanced from both ends of the street, killing the few Lokori that remained standing, painting the street green with their blood, and joining forces at the bottom of the fall. Everyone Galen and Lyra had run with was on the ground, dead or wounded. Galen looked down to see one of the droids gaze up at them and communicate something to its brethren. The droid's feet weren't well suited to climbing mounds of organic rubble, but they tried nonetheless, and on realizing they were getting nowhere, they raised their weapons. Galen's thoughts spiraled. Placing himself in front of Lyra and Jin, he lifted his face to the darkened sky and screamed,
"Is there no escape from this madness?"
All at once, as if his voice alone had spawned a miracle. The droids began to power down. The entire city fell so unexpectedly silent that Galen was as discombobulated as he was comforted.
"The central command computer,"
he sputtered, his eyes leaking tears.
"Republic forces took it out. That's the only explanation."
Lyra pressed herself against his back while Jin cried softly in the carrier.
"I don't even need an explanation."
What neither of them knew or could have known was that the war, so abruptly begun 3 years earlier, was just as suddenly over.